You are listening to sounddoctrine.net, Ministry of Agape Chapel Ministries.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go.
Hi, this is Pastor Nick. The following message is on MP3 format and it is not copyrighted. You can download to your computer and burn CDs. We encourage you to bookmark sounddoctrine.net as you can download hundreds of free MP3 sermons, booklets and articles for God's glory and for your growth. And now, here is today's Lord's Day sermon. Alright, the message that I'm going to give today is, the topic is, the first gospel sermon ever delivered. The first gospel sermon ever delivered. And if you turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. In Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now, this is the first gospel light, or the first good news that came after the fall. And that was delivered in the garden, and the preacher was God himself. The audience was a whole human race in Adam and the prince of darkness. Now, for us to understand this is so important for us to understand, because there are so many people believe that the gospel message began in the New Testament. Now, the dawning of the gospel, the seed of the gospel, began in the book of Genesis. That's very important for us to understand that, because how were the Old Testament saints, how were they saved? Because they heard the seed of the gospel. They heard the dawning of the gospel. They heard the nutshell of the gospel. And this gospel, with the gospel, will come a redeemer, a savior, a deliverer. And in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 2 says, "For unto us the gospel preached, as well as unto them." Talking the Old Testament saints, the gospel was preached as well unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard. So here, the Old Testament saints, they were saved by faith. Okay, and so the word gospel is not in the Old Testament. But the concept, the good news, is there. And that's what we saw in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. They were saved by faith in trusting in God. They were looking forward to the cross, to the deliverer, to the Messiah. And now we are looking back for what already has been accomplished, been completed. Now, if you want to give me just in a nutshell today, as the word of God says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So here, there is going to be enmity that's going to come. There are two offsprings that's going to come. One offspring is going to come through a woman. Okay, the believers are going to come. But also, out of the woman, okay, there's another offspring that is going to come. And that offspring is going to be coming also from the woman. But that offspring are the people who come in the flesh. Okay, and that offspring is going to be the unbelievers, the people who are in the flesh, not of the spirit. We are going to see that very clearly. But eventually, there is going to be a seed, and one seed that is going to come, and that is going to come out of the woman, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ, and He is going to bruise His head. The other one is eventually going to have, the battle is going to be Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, versus the devil. And the devil is going to bruise his heel, and Jesus is going to bruise his head. As the nutshell, we are going to see. But I'm going to expose this today. But for me to expose, we need to see the darkness before the dawn. Okay, this is just the dawning of the gospel, but we need to see the darkness before the dawn. Now, why is it that Eve was tempted by the serpent, not by any other animal? Well, I believe she took a special liking to the serpent. Probably the serpent would have been a beautiful animal. It's not what you see the serpent today. We have to understand that. Serpent would have been the most beautiful animal which God had created. Maybe she had a liking to this animal. Satan used the serpent as his instrument to communicate to Eve. It looks like when man fell at the garden, Satan triumphed. And all the demons would have rejoiced at the fall of man. Because Satan was able to deceive God's crown of creation. Paradise was turned into hell. Adam was the supreme ruler of the earth. But very soon, he became a slave to Satan. He enjoyed living in paradise for a very short time. Then man was condemned to death. There was torment of hell just around the corner. No wonder when God called Adam, says here, when they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, God called Adam and said, "Adam, where art thou?" No wonder Adam hid from the face of God. And here there was a spiritual death. That means sin separated man from God. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that you will not hear." Now, it was to Adam that God gave the law. But he became a lawbreaker. But God also, the one who gave the law, is also the judge. And when they violated God's law, judge himself came and arrested the criminals. Now God, if you remember in the book of Genesis, Adam of course gave his excuse and told God, "It's the woman who created you. You know, she's the one who deceived me." And the woman passed the buck and to Satan, you know, it's to the serpent, and it's him, you know, he's the one who deceived. But when it came to the serpent, God immediately sentenced him. If you turn with me to Genesis chapter 3, verse 11, God did not ask anything from the serpent, but God sentenced him immediately. Genesis 3:11 says here, "Why? Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, "The woman who gave to be with, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. And the Lord said to the woman, why, what is it that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. So the Lord said to the serpent, he didn't ask why. Okay, just the way he asked from the woman and Adam, but Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. Now, this beautiful animal, I believe, that walked, now had to go on the belly for the rest of its days. So, Satan, the sentence was given to Satan immediately, because Satan used the serpent as an instrument. Okay, I want you to do that, see that. The principal agent of seduction was Satan himself, but the instrument was the serpent. But the devil's instrument must also share the punishment. Even though the devil will use somebody as an instrument, that devil's instrument must be punished. Because if you remember in the book of Exodus, there was a law, Exodus 21:28-29, it says that even if an ox killed a man, that ox should be stoned. Because that ox was just an instrument, okay? So even if an ox killed a man, that ox should be stoned. So here we see that Satan was given the sentence immediately, because he had already previously rebelled against God, and the devil and his fallen angels were not pardoned. And now, not only that, for the second time here, they deceived God's crown of creation. So, sin turned angels into devils. That's how powerful the sin was. And now, sin entered mankind, the entire human race, and there was enmity. The woman probably liked the serpent, as I said, in the beginning. But later on, there was an antipathy. The word antipathy means that there was a strong hostility later on. Okay? Enmity. Okay? And an anger. Now, in Genesis 3:15, it says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman. Alright? Now, for us to see this, Satan, just imagine, Satan is he's the one who introduced sin into mankind. See, if you see how grievous this sin is, when you introduce sin to mankind, and that one sin will multiply into all. Right? Because Romans 5 verse 12 says, right? One man's sin, and because of one man's sin, and sin came to everybody, and all have sinned. Just imagine the power of sin. Huh? It killed just one man, and it went to all mankind. Now, God said, and I will put enmity between you and the woman. Now, who put enmity here? God put enmity. God himself did it. Now, here, when this happened, when this calamity happened, God himself will intercede. God comes in, and he is going to take the quarrel personally with the devil. This quarrel is not going to be with the devil and man, but the quarrel is going to be God and the devil. That's why God said, I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman. Alright? The quarrel is going to be between God himself and Satan. And here, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, here the word seed also means an offspring. Out of that seed will come an offspring, okay, and descendants. So there are two offsprings that is going to come. The devil's offspring and the woman's offspring, okay. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and thy seed and her seed, your offspring and her offspring. But still, that devil is not going to give birth to people, okay? But it's going to be the devil's offspring also going to come through the woman, alright? And though that offspring are the people who are not truly born again. And I'm going to show that to you in scripture, alright? Then, at the end, it's going to be a personal fight between Jesus Christ and the devil. It's going to be a head-to-head personal fight, where at the end Jesus is going to bruise the devil's head and Satan is going to bruise Jesus on his heel. Now, remember, it was the devil who deceived the woman. At the same time, God is going to choose a woman and will use a woman, a virgin, to enter into this world to battle against the devil. So this is the dawning of the gospel. Out of the woman's seed came eventually the Messiah, the deliverer. Okay, devil's seed or his offsprings are all the people who are born of the flesh. And the woman's offspring are all who are born of the Spirit. 1 John chapter 3 verse 9 says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. But he cannot sin because he is born of God. Here, if you are born of God, if you are a born again Christian, you cannot continually keep on sinning. Alright? If you do sin, you will confess truly to God and He will forgive you. So basically what 1 John 3:9 is saying is, if you are born of God, you will remain in Jesus because His seed remains in you. Because you came from his seed. And Romans chapter 9 verse 8 is a very good scripture. It says here, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, there you go, children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Again, the word seed, that means the true Christians, the born again Christians, they came from the woman's seed, woman, out of the woman's seed eventually came the Messiah, and we come from the Messiah's seed, okay? So the same seed, that is, that we are born of above, spiritually born. But Romans 9:8 says, but the children of the flesh, they are not the children of God. That's what the scriptures say, not what I said. So, here we see the fruit of this enmity. There's going to be fruit of this enmity. You know, this enmity, when you see enmity, that means there is hatred between two parties. We saw that in the gospel, right? There is a hatred, hostility between two parties. It's just, you cannot reconcile them together. It's like you cannot reconcile heaven and hell. There's no way you can reconcile heaven and hell. You cannot reconcile God and Satan. You cannot. You cannot reconcile light and darkness. You cannot. It cannot be reconciled together. You know, in Psalm chapter 139, I think verse 19 to 22 says that the wicked men hate God because there is enmity. That's why they hate God. There's enmity. They are the children who are born of the flesh. And Romans chapter 8 verse 7 says, the carnal man have enmity against God, and he cannot please God. So the fleshly born man has enmity. So here, these two offsprings that comes will have enmity towards each other. Now, there was enmity if you look at the very beginning. In the book of Genesis chapter, this was chapter 3 we saw, right? God says there's going to be enmity. If you go to chapter 4, there's already enmity. Where there was enmity at the very beginning when Cain murdered his brother, Abel. Cain came, he was a man born out of the flesh. But Abel was a man who was who truly loved God, born of the Spirit. So there was enmity. And there was enmity between Isaac and Ishmael. There was enmity between Jacob and Esau. And you can see all the way through, this seed which started is going to develop. Little by little, gradually, it's going to get bigger and bigger as the population grows, and there's always going to be enmity at the end. But as when Jesus came to this world, his birth, the result, that seed also is a person, that's the seed that is also one individual seed is going to come and have a final battle with the devil. Okay, and remember how Jesus told the false teachers, the Pharisees. What did he say? In John chapter 8 verse 44, your father is of the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. So there you go. The people, you can be very religious, but if you're born of the flesh, if you're not born again, your father is of the devil. That's what Jesus said. And Jesus said he was a murderer from the beginning. What did the devil do to murder somebody? The first sin, deception. Okay, how he deceived Eve, Adam and Eve. That was a murder in God's sight. Because the soul, somebody coming and preaching and deceiving somebody, that's murder. That's criminal murder. And so here, devil was a murderer from the beginning because he did not abide in the truth. There was no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, when he speaks, it's a lie. He speaketh of his own, for he is a liar. And there are so many people who preach false doctrine from the pulpit. They are soul killers. They come and murder souls, just like how the devil did. In Matthew chapter 23 verse 33, Jesus told the Pharisees, "You serpents," there again. We see the serpent's offspring. And also Jesus said, "You are serpents." How Jesus connected this to the very beginning in the book of Genesis. "You serpents, you generation of vipers." He didn't say, "You guys are tigers," or "You guys are elephants." And he said, "You are serpents, generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell?" So here, what do we see? There are two offsprings that's going to come. One is a carnal seed. The other one is a spiritual seed. A carnal, fleshly seed and a spiritual seed. A kingdom of God versus the kingdom of the devil. The kingdom of God versus the kingdom of the world. 1 John chapter 3 verse 13 says, 1 John 3:13, it says, "Marvel not, my brethren, if this world hates you." He's talking to the Christian. Don't be surprised if this world is going to hate you. Because the world is of the carnal seed. God already said there's going to be enmity between the true Christians who are born again and who are fleshly, who are worldly. So if you're going through persecution, it's already there. There is going to be persecution because the spiritual seed and the carnal seed is always going, there's going to be enmity. That's why from the very beginning we see how Christians were persecuted. In the old, you can see the Old Testament prophets, They were killed, persecuted, stoned. And the New Testament disciples, most of them were crucified. And there were early Christians who were put into the lion's den, and many were burned alive. And remember, there were about 300 reformers. 300 reformers were burned alive. This was mass murder. Wholesale murder, that is publicly killing people because they love the Lord so much. The world will hate you. And the Bible, the Word of God, they wanted to kill the Bible, and they put fire on the Bible. In a sense, they burnt the Bible on wholesale. And they want to take away the Word of God from people. And the Roman Catholic Church, what did they do? For thousands of years, the Word of God, people cannot read the Word of God. Only the priests can read. People did not have the Word of God. And here, why? You can be so religious because devil can come as an angel of light, the Word of God says. So there's always going to be enmity between true Christians, born again Christians, and the people who are in the flesh. And Revelation chapter 12 verse 7 says, there was war in heaven. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. So, one thing we have to remember is this. Immediately after the fall, Christ took the office of the mediator. A lot of people think that Christ took the office of the mediator in the New Testament. No. Christ took the office of the mediator soon after the fall. The mediator come right in the middle between the God who is offended and the sinful man. Christ came right in between the offended God, the injured party God, and between sinful man. And Christ, you know, if you think about it, how God himself killed an animal and clothed Adam and Eve. An innocent animal was killed, and here you see the shedding of blood that continues all the way through the Old Testament until Christ himself comes and shed his blood, and he clothed us with his righteousness. So what I'm trying to say is that Christ Jesus, he appeared in the Old Testament. The Bible says in the book of John, nobody has seen God. No one. But Christ, who is at the bosom of the Father, has made known the Father to us. So Christ is the communicator. He is called the Word. What does the Word do? The Word will communicate to us. He is the only communicator that the God's will is communicated to man through Christ Jesus. Okay, so his mediator office began soon after the fall, and in the Old Testament, all this Christ appearing, giving of the law, and all the how God told Moses to build a tabernacle. All these things are advanced preparations for the cross before it came to the final, to the battle between the devil and Jesus. In Psalm chapter 40 verse 7 says, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. Talking about the Messiah, Jesus Christ. This whole Bible, the center is the Lord Jesus Christ. So out of the woman's seed will come the Messiah, who will fight with the devil. When Eve had her first child, Okay, when Genesis chapter 3:15, when it was given to Adam and Eve, and there is going to be, he is going to bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel, and this there is going to be enmity, and there is a deliverer who is going to come. Then in Genesis chapter 4 verse 1 says, Adam knew Eve, his wife. Knew means they had basically intimate relationship, and they were sexually involved, and she conceived and bare Cain, and she said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she thought, the Messiah came. Right there, she was so excited. I have gotten a man from the Lord. So Eve, the first child that came, she thought this was the promised seed that came, and this is the Messiah. And you know, she was mistaken. The first child was a murderer. It took about 4,000 years after that for Jesus to come. Okay, probably about 4,000 years after that for Jesus to come. So you can just imagine how this seed went all the way through from generation to generation until Jesus really came. Remember how God promised Abraham that his seed, his offspring, will be like the dust of the earth. You can see this word seed going through all the way through the Bible. But Abraham also was wrong, because he thought that Ishmael was going to be the promise. Ishmael was going to be the blessing. But he was wrong, because it was Isaac, not Ishmael. Now Jacob was wrong. We saw the blessing went to Jacob, not to Esau. Okay, it should be the other way around, because Esau was the older. But the seed was not going to go through Esau, but Jacob. Remember Samuel, when Saul sinned against God, and God said, okay, Samuel, go to Jesse's house, and there I'm going to anoint the future king of Israel. So how Samuel, when he went, he saw Jesse's oldest son, Eliab, and he thought, oh, this is the one, because he's good, you know, tall, good looking. And God said, no, he's not the one. Don't look at man's outward appearance. But it was through David, the youngest son of Jesse, you can see that the seed came. So all the way through the Old Testament, you can see Genesis 3:15, how the seed is going to come through the woman. At the end, in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 3 verse 38, Luke, how he sees this whole thing, and he says here that which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. How Jesus, Luke was able to trace all the way to Adam, how Jesus came from this woman, from Adam's line, the seed. Now, then it says in Genesis 3:15, he is going to bruise your head. And Jesus, in the final climax, he is going to bruise the head of Satan, and Satan is going to bruise his heel. Now, this promise is a very gracious promise. You know, this is a wonderful promise, because how if God did not, how if there was no Genesis 3:15, where we will be? I mean, there's nothing. We'll be all doomed to hell. There will be no grace, no mercy, no atonement, absolutely nothing. We'll be just, everybody will live, everybody will die, and they will all go to hell. That's it. But this is a gracious scripture. This is the good news. And this is the dawning of the gospel. Okay? And this is the first gospel sermon that ever preached. And the deliverer is going to be a champion. And this deliverer, who is a champion, is going to come from the fallen man. That is amazing. How can the deliverer come, or a savior can come from the fallen man? How can this be? When the angel appeared to Mary and told her that the Son of the Highest will give birth to her, she was amazed and she asked the same question, how can this be? And she said, I don't know a man, meaning I don't have a relationship with man. But the angel answered and said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Just like Adam, he was created without sin. The second Adam came. He also came without sin. In Galatians chapter 4 verse 4 says, but when the fullness of the time has come, when God's timing came, when the fullness of the time came, when it was absolutely ripe for Christ to be born, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman. That is very interesting, so interesting. It's so essential to put the word woman there, because it was the woman who was deceived. Now Christ came through the woman, because out of her seed will come the Messiah. And says here, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. What a memorable night would have been in Bethlehem when our Lord, when our Savior came to this world. The seed of the woman appeared, and who celebrated? The angels sang in heaven. Oh, we know when the devil saw this, he began to fight right away. He didn't waste any time. Satan, what did he do? He used Herod, if possible, to kill this newborn baby. Then Herod, he made a decree to kill all the newborn babies. But after 30 years, then there is nothing said, but after 30 years, when Jesus publicly came to start in his ministry after the baptism, there was again the head-to-head battle in the wilderness. And remember the head-to-head battle in the wilderness, how Adam was deceived in the paradise. And here the devil had a battle with Adam in paradise. But here the devil tried to deceive Jesus, not in paradise, but in the wilderness. The Lord set up his kingdom, and he carried the war into the enemy's own territory. When Jesus came, how did he carry his war into the enemy's own territory? How did he do that? Because he cast demons. He expelled demons. Legions of demons fled before him. And he healed the sick, and he cast demons out of people. And he took the war into his own territory. And Luke chapter 10 verse 18, when this was happening, Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And Jesus saw Satan falling from heaven like lightning. And again, we see another personal conflict again, a battle in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus said, Luke chapter 22 verse 53, when I was daily with you in the temple, you stretch out no hand against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. How Satan fought to lead Christ away from completing the great sacrifice. Satan wanted to stop that. Lead him away. And here our beloved master, he prayed, and the sweat that dropped on the ground were as it were great drops of blood. Well, then our captain of the horse, our Lord, our champion, began his last fight, and this last fight was done publicly. Satan bruised our master's heel on the cross. Again, Satan used instruments to do this, just like how he used who? The serpent as an instrument. This time he used Herod, Pilate, Caiaphas, the Jews, and the Romans. They were all his tools to crucify our master. But God also allowed it to happen because the Bible says it pleased the Father to bruise him because all our sins were poured upon Jesus Christ. Now Satan thought that he had victory again because he crucified the seed that came out of the woman, and he thought, I won. He lost. He murdered. The Son of God was crucified. He killed him. So he thought that he had victory. I'm sure all the demons were having a party, the rejoicing. But our champion, our captain of the horse, rose again on the third day as he gave a blow to Satan. He bruised his head. Jesus was triumphant and had victory over Satan as he conquered what? Death. Sin brought what? Death. Jesus Christ conquered death. And Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:55 what? O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and that was a blow to the devil's head. Because Jesus Christ, our Lord, he conquered death. And the sting of sin was gone. Because once we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, all our sins are forgiven. 1 John chapter 3 verse 8 says, he that committed sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. Why did Jesus come? For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's why he was manifested. That's why he came. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14 says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So here, what happened in the final battle? The Lord won. Victory goes to Jesus Christ. And the devil thought that he had a victory. That was a feigned victory. Okay, and so also Colossians chapter 2 verse 15 says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. That means the battle was an open battle. It was a public battle for everybody to see. Openly, Christ demonstrated his love for the believers, because openly he was crucified and he rose again, and he spoiled all the principalities and the powers, the demonic worlds, what they had, and he was triumphant. And God said he will put enmity between his offspring and Satan's. Now think about it. Did you have any enmity with Satan before you became a Christian? Huh? Yes? No, you didn't. You didn't have any enmity. There was peace between you and Satan before you became a Christian. In the same way, the people who are not truly born again Christians, You don't have any enmity with Satan. You don't have any enmity with the world. Absolutely not. Because you have peace. And the false religions, you know, before, whatever, the false religions, Satan is the author of the false religions, I believe. And the false religions that we believed in, we were taught, we just believed. We didn't have any enmity. Why is that the Christianity? Why is that people are so much against as Christianity? Why is that people are not coming against Buddhism? That they are trying to show that Buddhism is wrong. Do you hear on the media to say that Buddhism is wrong or Hinduism is wrong or any other religion is wrong? Do you hear how the world is trying to put Buddha down and say he's a false savior or to try to accuse him or anything like that? You don't hear. Why is it that only Christianity? Because God said it. There is going to be enmity between the true descendants of his woman's offspring, that is true born-again Christians, and of the world. There's always going to be enmity. And nobody is going to sing, you know, have you ever heard on the radio or any song saying, Hallelujah to Buddha and anything like that? You don't hear. Because Buddha is dead. You cannot sing Hallelujah to a dead person. Only to Christ that we sing. We come and sing praises unto him because he's alive. You don't sing to a dead person. Huh? Do you? No, you can't. So the conflict, the battle is going to continue. And we too were slaves before to false religions. We were slaves to Satan. And we had peace with him. But it was the true gospel that saved us. And when the true gospel, when we heard the true gospel and God's Spirit came and we were born again, then we saw that we were enmity with the enemy. Then that's the time we saw, man, I was a slave to sin. I loved sin before. Now I hate sin. So the conflict of our battle is going to continue. This is not finished yet. Okay? Just because Christ rose from the dead and gave a blow to devil's head, he's still alive. He's still not dead. He's still going on. But there was a heavy blow that was done to his head. Okay? That heavy blow that was done to his head, that's the major blow, because now, this conflict is going to continue until we are going to Christ come in his second coming. Today, that was a heavy blow because the sermons that we preach, Christ crucified, that's the sermons that we preach. And every sermon that we preach in Christ, it will shake the gates of hell. And we bring sinners who are in the devil's hands into Christ. That's the power of the gospel. And you can see that the devil's head got a severe blow. The sinners who are in the dungeon, who are in the darkness, by the power of the gospel, that they can come to the marvelous light of Christ. And the gates of hell is going to shake by the power of the gospel. That was a major blow to Satan's head. The true church of God, the true believers, are persecuted by the world because the enmity is going to still continue until Christ comes in his second coming. Once Christ comes in his second time, he is going to put all his enemies under his feet. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 25 says, "For he must reign." Christ is reigning now. "Until he put all his enemies under his feet." Apostle Paul said, Romans chapter 16 verse 20, "And God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly." Under our feet shortly. "The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you." Revelation chapter 20 verse 10 says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. And that's the end of the devil. Amen. That's the end of the devil. In Revelation chapter 20 verse 10, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. And no more devil, when there is no more devil, and also all his demons are cast into the lake of fire, there is no more what? Sin. No more sin. Psalm chapter 102 verse 27 says, and 28, but thou art the same, in thy ears shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. Wow. And we are, just like the book of Romans says, the book of Galatians said, now we are adopted as his children. My question today, those who are listening, do you come from the devil's offspring, or are you Christ's seed? Are you come from the devil's offspring, or are you Christ's seed? Which side are you? And Galatians chapter 3 verse 29, Apostle Paul answers, and he said, if you be of Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If you are in Christ, if you are in Christ, then you are Christ's seed. You know, and today there are so many people who say, well, I'm a Christian because I was born into a Christian home. Just because you are born into a Christian home, you don't become a Christian. Just because you have a Bible in your home, you're not a Christian. Just because you have a picture of Jesus in your home, you're not a Christian. A Christian is a person who has repented before God and seen that he is a wicked person who has sinned against God, and that he asks mercy from God and asks forgiveness from God, pardon his sins, and fall at the feet of Jesus. And that's the person who is forgiven. That's a true Christian. And I pray today that God will have mercy upon you, and that his divine life will come into your soul if you don't know the Lord. And the word of God will bring repentance, as Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which live and abideth forever. And here, the battle is going to continue. Okay? When you shine as a Christian, when you proclaim that you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ, and that you are a believer, people in the world are not going to like it. Even if you're in your own house, if there are people who are non-believers, when you show that you truly love the living God, Christ Jesus, and that you are born again, born not of a religion, not bowing your head to a pope, or Mary, or the saints, or any statues, or not following any tradition, but born of God through the power of his spirit, and your lifestyle has been changed. If you are in Christ, you are a new creature, and you love God, and you show your love, you show your love of God to the others, how you love him, by reading the word of God, by studying and meditating his word, people in your own home shall be against you. But if you are going to compromise with them, they're not going to be against you. Jesus never compromised with the devil when this happened. He immediately took action. He didn't compromise. See, there are no place for people who are compromising. There's no place in heaven for them. Because the place in heaven for all those people who are persecuted. Jesus said, in this world, you shall have tribulations. But be of cheer that I have overcome the world. And also, Apostle Paul said, if you're a true Christian, you will be persecuted. You shall have persecutions. All godly shall be persecuted. Because we are not going to cut corners. We are going to tell the truth. And when you tell the truth, not cutting corners, not compromising, not rationalizing, not twisting things, for the sake of peace, we don't do that. We tell the truth. When you tell the truth, people are going to get offended. And when they get offended, you can rejoice because you know you are of his seed because you have enmity now against the world. It will hurt your flesh, but it's a blessing for your soul. Just imagine, the early church did not compromise his word. Did not. The disciples did not compromise his word. That's why they were persecuted. They did not bow down to Caesar. Even under severe persecution, they were even put, some were put to the, put to be eaten by wild animals. Yet, they stood by the word of God. They did not compromise. In the last minute, they didn't say, I'm not a believer. I'll worship Caesar. I'll come to Caesar. Their life would have been saved. But they didn't. Because they knew this is the word of God. They gave their lives because they did not love their lives. They loved Jesus Christ. Because this word, what our God, if he sent his beloved son to die on the cross, and just imagine God himself coming down to this earth and himself going through the pains that he never knew. He never experienced this pain, but he experienced this pain in his human nature where he never knew. God never experienced any hardships, any trials, any difficulties, but Jesus Christ, he said, the birds and foxes have holes, birds have nests, but Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head. He himself, he never knew this, he never felt these things in heaven, because he in heaven, he has everything. But here, he came to suffer. And just imagine the suffering he went through, not being yielded to temptation when the devil tempted him in the wilderness. Kind of a lesson for us to understand from that temptation. But he did not yield to that temptation. Because why? He came to save those whom he loved. If you're a Christian, if you're a believer, he saw that he loved you so much that he went through all this pain for you. And now, if you truly believe that, how can you say, I cannot love Jesus? I don't have any desire to read the word of God. You cannot. All the things that he went through. So, and I'm saying this, that we need to hate sin and flee from sin, and we need to flee into the bosom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ask him for mercy for what he has done. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. This was the good news that was ever preached. Good news. The first gospel sermon ever delivered. And it was delivered by God himself. And the audience was mankind. And the whole mankind, that's the whole human race in Adam. Also, there was Prince of Darkness. And what good news is this. This is the gospel of grace. Because grace stepped in there. And this is the covenant of grace, because God made a covenant saying that I am going to take the battle on my hand. If the battle belongs to me, that I am going to fight with the devil. That's the covenant of grace. That he came, that we were delivered from that. Because the covenant of works failed. Because Adam could not keep the works. He could not go to heaven by his own works. So the covenant of grace came. Redemption came. Salvation came. Just imagine, for God to create the heavens and the earth, it was not that difficult. He just spoke the word and it came. But when it came to redemption, he had to shed. He had to send his own begotten son. And his own son has to shed his blood. That was not easy. And that is all because of you, the believers. And if you are not a Christian, I pray that you will come to Christ. And I pray that God will send his spirit and that you will be born again. And that you will repent of your sins and to come to Christ. And ask for mercy because of the sins that you have committed. And God will dump all their sins in the bottom of the shore. And he will forgive you all what you have done, no matter what you have done, what kind of sin you have in. And Jesus can forgive. And that is the greatest story. Amen.
This is Pastor Nick, and we hope today's sermon was a blessing to your soul. If you are blessed spiritually by this ministry, please pray for us as we provide free Christian booklets for prisoners all over the United States. Also, we provide free booklets and audio CDs all over the world for God's glory. Our mailing address is Agape Chapel Ministries, P.O. Box 59084, Norwalk, California 90652. We truly covet your prayers, and until we meet again, may the Lord richly bless your soul with the richness of his word.